don't know what happens in the song after that, but I like singing my face off.
A Course in Musicals says.
You guys, we were talking about our lesson for tonight, and I was trying to quote A Course in Miracles, but I said A Course in Musicals, and we laughed so hard we were crying, because all we want to do now is actually do A Course in Musicals.
And then you'll just hear Kristen and I quote, A Course in Musicals says, and then some Broadway singer will come out and sing, like Oklahoma, but with spiritual lyrics.
Oh, do you know you can't be separated from the source of all? Did you like that?
That's what we wanted.
I also have one for chorus line. I want to go, one is, and we're all connected to one. Obviously I'm going to have to work on the lyrics.
It's a work in progress. We usually don't share the first draft, but here we are.
Don't judge the process, friends. Just let it flow. Let it come out.
Welcome to the Create Podcast. For any of you listening for the first time ever, we're sorry.
For any of you listening for the first time ever, usually we make sense.
But today is a day of A Course in Musicals, and there was an intention to our song, the song What Goes Up Can Go Higher, because that's what we're going to talk about today.
That is the topic of this podcast.
So we've all heard the expression, what goes up must come down, and Kristen and I were coming up with this topic via a conversation we were having about, actually, it was a conversation we were having. We were driving out of town to go with some of our best friends to go on an apple picking journey upstate in New York when the leaves were all changed. It was beautiful. You know, when you're in your car with your best friends, you're listening to music, you're having the best conversation. We were in heaven, and we kept saying, like, how can life feel so good in this moment? And then Kristen started to laugh and said, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I can hear my ego saying, did you turn off your stove? Did you blow out your candle? And it's like that feeling of life is too good. It's like too good. So like the other shoe has to drop.
Yeah, I totally like outed myself. I was like, friends, I have to out right now what my ego's doing to me. That we are literally having so much fun. We're in so much heaven. And I can feel like this little part of my voice that wants to distract me from the fact that I'm in heaven and try to give me something to worry about that's not real. Like, it's this made up idea of like fear. Mm-hmm. And I can see it so clearly that it wants to give me something to take me out of this moment that is just bliss.
It wants to give us something to worry about all the time. It's like my teacher always says, if I'm not worried about something, then I worry about that.
Yes.
Because we're so in a common state of worrying all the time. And it was so funny in the car because Kristen said it and everyone's like, haha, that's so funny. The ego is so funny. And then there was like a silence in the car. And then all of us were like texting or calling someone to be like, can you go check my house too?
Can you go see if I left my stove on or my candle on? And I just want to make sure. It was hilarious, like that power of suggestion. But I think that happens to us a lot in life, and often subconsciously, where life is going really good and we all want to like hold on just in case it takes a dip. And like, what are we protecting ourselves from? One of my favorite things that I hear, I've lived this and I've heard it, where people go, so I might have like whether booked this role or gotten this gig or gotten this contract with so-and-so, but I don't want to celebrate just yet.
I don't want to talk. I don't even want to say it yet because I don't want to jinx it.
Right? Yeah. And it's so funny. I always laugh with the older that I've gotten, I'm like, listen, I'm going to celebrate all the wins.
All of it.
If I have a good meeting, I'm celebrating it. I'm not waiting for everything to go my way. I'm celebrating whatever's happening.
Yes.
But it's really funny how we have been conditioned to be on the lookout for the next thing that could go wrong, that we don't even allow ourselves to be in any kind of high that we are in, any natural life high that we happen to be experiencing at the moment.
That's exactly right. I believe it was Marianne Williamson I heard say this one time, and I quote it often, that in a land, in a space in our future that is infinite possibility, our whole future is like this beautiful blank slate that every moment we get to create something anew into. And from that blank slate of unlimited possibility, and quantum physics calls it like a limitless field of possibility, like anything is possible, nothing is predetermined. And from that space, many of us will focus our energy on preparing for the potential disaster when we could be spending our energy expecting the potential miracle. And it's like, if we put energy into the potential disaster, somehow we think, well, if I prepare myself for what might go wrong, then when said thing does go wrong, it'll be easier to handle. I'll be more ready for it. I'll be more adaptive. But all of the big things that have ever happened, like a passing of someone we love or an accident, you can't prepare for that. And even if you had, even if you got up every day and said, I'm going to prepare for the moment when this person passes, it doesn't prepare you for that moment. So why are we wasting our energy preparing for a disaster, which then what we're doing is putting energy into the potentiality of something we don't want to happen, when in that limitless field of possibility, we could invest our energy into expecting the potential miracle. And then if that miracle doesn't come to pass, at least we know that we didn't do anything to detract from it occurring. We put our energy into what we wanted and not what we were afraid might happen.
Oh man, that is deep. Like, if we could just spend a little bit more of our energy focused on the potential of the miracle that could be possible here and walk in that direction, spend our time focusing on that, what might happen?
Doesn't it feel like when you have conversations with people sometime, like if it's a conversation you're scared of having or you don't want to have, you're preparing in your head how bad it's going to go.
Yes.
But what would happen? So then you show up to that conversation already gripping, already ready to defend yourself, already braced. Exactly. But what would happen if you were rehearsing the miracle that could happen in your head? What if I said this and they were really receptive? What if I expressed myself and they really listened? What if? And then if you show up to the conversation and it doesn't go that way, know that you are capable of handling it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be prepared to handle it. Know and trust yourself that in the moment you'll handle it. But you're walking into the conversation with a very different energy. You're walking in with excitement and openness and focus on a resolution and what could come out of this that could be positive. And maybe, just maybe, when we show up to life in that energy, it actually allows for us to change the course of events.
Ooh, I love that. And as you say these words, I'm hearing an exercise that might be for the next create.
I can't wait.
Of ways to generate the best case scenarios and to court the miracles.
Ooh.
One of the things I wanted to tell our sweet readers about that kind of influenced readers,
listeners. That's a premonition of our create book.
Oh, hey now. I'm not mad at that. The day that we went out with our friends and we were on our beautiful apple picking adventure, we got so high on life. Mm. We got so happy. We literally got so high that it was almost like, could there be more happiness than this?
Yes.
And then on the way home,
yes,
we learned that what goes up can go higher. Mm-hmm. Just when we thought we were at the penultimate of our bliss,
tasting the most delicious apple you've ever tasted, being on a hayride with your best friends, having all the laughter, the best weather.
And like, we looked adorable too. Uh-huh. Our pictures looked
like a total photo shoot catalog.
And as we're heading back, we pass, is it called the Fun Castle?
It was like the Magic Fun Castle.
Yeah,
it was something along those lines.
We were all like, ooh, you would be delicious, because it's a brisk day. It's like a little coffee for the ride home. So I pulled off the freeway, and we don't find coffee, but we find like the Magic Fun Castle, and we all went, absolutely. And we pulled over and they had this ride that was like, you know, the swings that go up and they go around and round and round. And so it's like you're flying. All of a sudden we had bought tickets and we were on this like amusement park ride.
Only the four of us.
Yeah. It was like the whole place was for us.
Yes. Yes. So here we are, you know, all of us in our little swings, flying through the air. The only sound you can hear is us giggling and screaming and laughing. We were laughing so hard that we were crying.
Yes.
Because, you know, you turn around and you see your adult age, beautifully well-dressed best friend John in his, like, beautiful Ted Baker outfit, sitting in this little swing with his hair in the wind. It just brought me the most joy that could ever have been brought. And it was that feeling of, like, it can go higher. You just have to be willing to see that possibility and not be afraid that the other shoe is always going to drop.
Oh, so that's where this topic came from, is like, can we, let's dive into how, when we start in our lives, start like going up, climbing up, keeping it going up, because often we think of life as this like roller coaster that we're gonna have these ups and we're gonna have these downs and we keep going up and down and we feel kind of dizzy by life. But we wanted to really dive in and say, what's the other way?
What's the other way? So cut to Kristen and I were hanging out via video with our dear, one of our favorite teachers, Michael Singer. And Michael had this really cool thing he was talking about. He was talking about all of us on the inside, our consciousness, as like a beautiful house. And he was saying that many of us will allow our house to get cluttered or dirty or messy, right? And then what we want to do is go to the outer world and find some potpourri or some room spray or a blanket to cover up all the mess. And so what is occurring when we feel that what goes up must come down is we feel this energy of quote unquote going up when the room starts to smell like potpourri and the blanket is covering all the mess. But the reason it must come down is because we haven't actually addressed the mess that's underneath. Of course, the room spray will wear off at a certain point. So it always feels like we have these moments of high and then we go low. But it's almost like what Michael was saying is our consciousness doesn't have to go up and down. Our consciousness is this pure energy. We call it Purusha from the yogic world of thought. That Purusha doesn't have any fluctuations. It's not in jeopardy. There's nothing wrong with it. So when we go into our inner being and keep that space clean and pure and identify ourselves as this beautiful, clean, amazing, fragrant house that we really, really are, then it's not the outer world's responsibility to make us feel better or give us anything. And then how we feel is always up to us. And it never has anything to do with those external stimulus or circumstances.
And, you know, he was saying that often we don't realize that who we are is that that awareness, that higher consciousness. It's the part of us that was the same when it was 3 and 5 and 20 and 35, that part of us doesn't get older, it doesn't change, and that it's the same even if our body changes. So he was saying, imagine you woke up and your legs were gone, your awareness is actually the same. He says, if you change genders, your awareness is still the same. Right? If he's like, you're sitting there right now and I cut your hand off, your soul, your awareness, your internal, whatever that is, that doesn't change.
Right.
That's why someone who is in their 60s can say, my mom would always say this to me. She'd be like, she was in her 60s and I remember her being like, I still feel like I'm 17 inside.
Yes.
Right? It's because whatever that is, that awareness,
yes,
that consciousness, that doesn't age.
Exactly.
So the first thing that we have to recognize is if we want to start to look at our life and think, how can I be high and go higher, right? How can I go from good to great to greater? The first thing we have to recognize is our inner conscious is never in jeopardy of going down, right? That in a way, we can't mess up that beautiful house.
Right.
We came into the world with it beautiful. It's stunningly gorgeous, and all we have to do is clear it out.
Its natural state is beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Our natural state is happiness.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with us. There is nothing to be fixed. It's only our false identification. It's when we identify ourselves as form,
mm-hmm,
and as the things that we are not, that actually causes us suffering. So the starting point is knowing that our inner consciousness, our Purusha, our awareness is perfect.
Yeah.
It doesn't need anything. It's already beautiful. It never changes. You can't mess it up. It can't go down. It can only feel more and more and more of itself as we allow that process.
So then, why do we go down? Well, friends, our suffering comes from trying to control three things.
Ooh.
And they are
the outside worlds,
mm-hmm,
thoughts and feelings. Now, what I love when Michael Singer talks about this is he says, the outside world, our thoughts and our feelings, are all how our consciousness plays the game with life, and they are all in a conspiracy against us.
It's so funny when Michael says it, it's like, okay, well, just know they're in a conspiracy against you. Yes. And so that, you know.
Your thoughts are not you, they're against you. Your feelings are not you, they're against you. Your outer world is not you, it's against you. I think that's a funny thing.
Yeah, it's almost like he takes a charge out of them.
Right.
But what we all think is, my house is going to be beautiful once these three things are all beautiful, as opposed to being like, oh, well, no, those are just in the world of form. These are always going to be changing, and there's always going to be a problem with them. So the outside world, I love how Michael says it's anything that comes through our senses.
Yes.
Right? So it's anything that we can, like, look at, we can smell, we can taste, we can hear. That outer world that is always fluctuating. And, of course, it's often where we want to, like, rearrange what it looks like.
It's our partnerships, it's our relationships, it's the amount of money in the bank account, it's identifying ourselves as the job that we do. That's all part of the outer world. The family of origin we grew up with, our chosen family, our children, our Christmas trees, the Central Park, that's all part of our outer world. The next thing is our thoughts. And he says thoughts don't come in from our senses. Thoughts are an internal game. They come from the mind and from the ego. And in the same way with the outside world and thoughts and feelings, we either like what's happening or we don't like what's happening. But we have preferences. We have opinions about what's going on. We have preferences and problem solving with our thoughts. But the thing to know is that we are not our thoughts. We are the witness that is watching the thought occur. So we can see them, but we don't have to identify them as truth. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's real, and it doesn't mean it's true.
That's right. And the same thing then with our feelings, right? We have preferences about our feelings. We think some are better than others sometimes. And because they're inside of us, and how he talks about is, you know, they're something that we experience in our body, right? And because we can experience these feelings, we often want to identify with them.
Right. And he talks about, you know, that we will sometimes act upon our feelings to justify them. Mm-hmm. But feelings are not facts. It's just something that's occurring. It's an energy in motion that's moving through us. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting is if we look at the yogic model, there's a model in yoga of energetic anatomy called the mayas or the panchas or the koshas. They're called different things. A maya is the word for illusion, right? And so the pancha maya koshas represent a system of energetic anatomy that says, what are we really and what are we not? And they're actually saying the same thing. What this model says is there's sort of layers of who we are, and we can peel them like an onion. The first layer is the physical. The next is the physiological. The next is the mental body, the mind body. The next is sort of the emotional body. We have our values and preferences. And then underneath all of that, we have our soul. We have Purusha. So in the yogic model, even our values and preferences, our feelings, our thoughts, our bodies are not us. Even our values and preferences are not us. We are awareness. And awareness doesn't have an opinion about anything. It just is.
That's exactly right. And so the second thing that we want to do is notice that these things, the outer world, our thoughts and our emotion, they're always changing. And they're never going to be okay. We always think that if we can organize, like, let me organize my world, and then my thoughts will be okay, and then my thoughts will be positive, and then my feelings will be positive. It's like we're trying to play this weird chess game with all this stuff out there when we already have it, like, up in our consciousness. And when Michael Singer talks about it, there's this thing that he does that I love, where he'll put his hand on the back of his head as if there was, like, a seat back there.
Yes.
And he'll talk about, like, the seat of the soul or the seat of awareness. So it's almost like the way he describes it is, like, moving back to this higher view where you sit back and you watch what's going on out there. And he'll talk about it as, like, watching a movie, right? So watching the movie of what your partner is doing and what your bank account is doing and what your career is doing, watching these things play out.
And that we're not even a character in the movie, we are the person watching the movie. So we don't even have to identify any of it as personal.
That's right.
We are just watching it happen. It's like so fascinating because I think that it's like we just run around and keep getting problems with our problems, yeah. right? It's like we feel an emotion we don't want to feel, so we try to do something about it. Or we're unhappy that there's not enough money in the bank, so then we try to fix it or do something. But what we don't realize is, let's say there's not enough money in the bank, and then you solve that problem. The only thing that your mind will do and your emotions in the outer world will do is now leapfrog you to the next problem.
That's right.
So we'll spend our whole lives going from problem to problem to problem. So you might have the problem of, I'm hungry, and then you eat. Now you have the problem of, I'm too full. So then you let some time pass and have a nap. Then you have the problem of whatever. It's like it just keeps moving. But your awareness is not hungry. Your awareness does not need money. Your awareness doesn't need life to be any different than it's occurring, because its job is just to watch and to be a witness of everything that's happening and see the whole thing as a game and say, oh, isn't that interesting how my thoughts want to create this problem? Isn't that interesting how my emotions want to create this story? Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting how my outer world is responding and giving me this stimulus, and I notice there's places in myself that want to have a reaction to that. But isn't it interesting that I can sit back and watch all of these things?
Well, it's so funny. You and I were talking about this earlier today, and I think what happens is sometimes we identify with the problem and we think it's our fault. Mm. So if we see something like not enough money in the bank, or this relationship that got created, or this thing that we want to say, I'm a loser because I have this problem,
yes.
right? I'm 10 pounds too heavy, so I'm a loser because blah, blah, blah. So we start to identify with the problem, and we think that the way we can feel okay is by solving it.
Yes.
And that takes us out of our awareness conscious and like inside this minutia. Now, if we think of a universe that loved us, right? This universe had us born of the parents it had us born from.
Yeah.
It had us born in the place it had us born. It had all of the things were perfectly designed so that we would be exactly where we are right now.
Yes.
That if, like you always say, if we knew better, we would do better. And we're not supposed to know better until we know better.
Right.
It's like racing to have to all the lessons when the ride, the game, all of it is here so that we could know it experientially.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like as if, could we allow life to be our teacher, and we're going to have the best time if we can sit back in that seat of awareness, realize there are all these things that are shifting around, constantly moving, and instead of identifying with them, go back into that place and say, let me have a higher view and learn from what life is now sharing in this kind of like crazy chess game.
And if we know that we manifested here, we incarnated here because this place is a place of evolution and growth and learning, then what we get the opportunity to do is be in evolution and growth and learning. And so we're not here to just coast along and like surf the wave and then leave and go, what was that all about? We are here to learn, to grow, but the way that we can do that while still getting higher is by not making it personal and not seeing it as something that's happening to us, but either something that A, is just happening, or B, could even be happening for us, because our souls are specifically here for a specific soul's growth, and all of the outer world and thoughts and feelings that occurs for us, through us, is tailor-made for us to have the experience of the growth we're here for.
It's so funny. It's like we're here for growth and evolution and learning, and we're totally pissed off
yes.
that we have to grow and learn
yes.
and evolve.
We're like, no more school. Summer vacation all the time.
I want to be there already.
But when we get into a place of perpetual summer vacation, doesn't it feel like inertia? And don't we immediately get bored?
Mm-hmm.
And don't we immediately mm-hmm. say, I know life is about something
yes.
more. I know there's something more here
yes.
for me. So it is, the ego wants to always keep us seeking when we, the awareness, has arrived on the scene to witness the whole darn thing and take in and learn and grow from everything it sees and experiences.
There's this quote that I love that from Michael Singer, where you said, the consciousness that's pulled to the outer world, your thoughts and your feelings, is always in suffering, but consciousness that notices itself is bliss.
Mm.
So that we always have a choice. Like, do we want to go on the messy roller coaster, or do we want to choose the bliss that is always present and available to us?
Mm. It's like the feeling of we're always chasing something outside of ourselves to give us the sensation of happiness or peacefulness or contentment. But when we realize that we already are happiness, peacefulness, and contentment, then we no longer need a thing to help us get there. We become the unfolding of the thing in the world, and our presence here actually creates more of that thing wherever we go.
Boom! That is all the truth. Okay, so there's this Neil Donald Walsh quote that says exactly what you just said. Because happiness is who we are, any effort to find it or to seek it is essentially, on its surface, a denial of our true identity.
Ooh.
And then he says, the best way to experience happiness, get your pencils, friends, the best way to experience happiness then is to express it. To express means to push out, squeeze out, press out. It does not mean to take in. Happiness is not something we gather, it's something we spread.
Mm.
And if we spread it wherever we go, we find ourselves experiencing it at a higher level than we might have ever thought possible.
That makes me think of the image of like spreading seeds in the soil.
Yes.
As opposed to walking around the earth trying to cut down the tree.
That's right.
And take the tree with you and hope the tree makes you happy. It's like you have all the seeds in you. Go spread them around the world and then you will get to be in an abundant field of trees.
Oh.
That's what we want to do.
We want to spread happiness.
Isn't that proof that we are it when we can spread it?
Yes, that's right.
Right? Like if we're always seeking it, then what we're doing is saying there's proof that I'm not it yet, so I have to seek it. But when we spread it, we're affirming I already have it, that's why I'm giving it away. And then we know what happens in the course of manifestation is, as you affirm the knowing of already having it, you get more of it.
And that's what life wants us to have experientially,
yeah.
Right? That's why it makes sense to incarnate and come down into the world, is to know it through the beingness of it. So instead of being running out the world, let's come back to that higher seat where we have it and then we can give it.
Mm.
It takes us away from that illusion that we are ever separate.
Yes.
Right? We always want to make up stories of our separateness and then see proof of that separateness inside the world.
Right. And our thoughts, feelings, and outer world will always confirm that. But our consciousness will never confirm separation.
It always knows.
It doesn't even know the word. I actually heard this funny thing with Abraham Hicks once where someone was asking about what forgiveness was. And Abraham was like, well, like, we can explain to you what that word means, but that's not a word that we know, right? And it's like, because God, consciousness, doesn't have the need to forgive anything because it doesn't have any inciting incident that it feels has wronged.
It's almost like the world is so inside that illusion, it's so inside of the Maya, that all you will find if you go out there is stories of lack and not enoughness and scarcity.
And proof. Proof that your thoughts and feelings in the outer world stimulus are reliable and true. And so as we continue to collect evidence of the truth of our lack, of the truth of separation, we will find it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have to decide, every time I collect that evidence, I'm drawing from my own well of happiness.
Every time I go to that evidence, I'm trying to decorate the clutter in my house.
I'm spraying
the potpourri and trying to put a blanket over the mess.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when I was a little kid and my parents would say, clean your room. And I would just put everything in the closet.
Yes, and shut the door.
And shut the door.
Like,
right?
Look what I did.
And it's like the universe is saying, get the mess out of the closet.
And we live in a time where all the messy closets are being revealed.
That's right.
So this is a moment in our history. This is a call for truth.
Right. It's happening on the macro level and the micro level. It's happening as a society, and it's happening for the individual, right? So all of us are getting this calling in one way or another. Here's another great Michael Singer quote. Are you? This is my favorite one.
I love this one.
If you want to be happy, you have to let go of the part of you that wants to create melodrama. This is the part that thinks there's a reason not to be happy. You have to transcend the personal, and as you do, you will naturally awaken to the higher aspects of your being. In the end, enjoying life's experiences is the only rational thing to do. I'm passing it on to you for the second half.
Oh, I can't wait.
Ready?
You're sitting on a planet spinning around in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Go ahead, take a look at reality. You're floating in empty space in a universe that goes on forever. If you have to be here, at least be happy and enjoy the experience. You're gonna die anyway. Things are gonna happen anyway. Why shouldn't you be happy? You gain nothing by being bothered by life's events. It doesn't change the world. You just suffer. There is always going to be something that can bother you if you let it.
Ooh!
I said to Kristen I wanted to get that quote like tattooed on my body, but that's a big tattoo.
That's a long... Take your whole back. You have a very beautiful back.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing, friends. What goes up can go higher if we decide to be unbotherable. If we decide that the world is full of things to bother us, and it's not our job to control it or make it feel further away from us or get people to do what we want them to do, we get to go higher the minute we decide, I am already perfect. I am already happy. There is good for me. I am here to witness this whole thing. When I notice myself being bothered, can I notice the noticer? Can I love the one that gets bothered? Can I love the thing in myself that is being bothered? And can I witness it the same way I would witness a piece of driftwood going down a river without any attachment, without thinking it has anything to do with me? Can I just be in the awareness that the thing is not happening to me, the thing is happening to the earth, and I just happen to be on the damn thing.
That's right. And then, here's the game, friends. Here's a challenge for you if you'd like to take it up. If you want to ride this ride, spend one day expressing the happiness that you are and looking for all the different ways you can express your happiness. Mm-hmm. If it's flirting with the barista or buying the person behind you in line a coffee, or if it is
going for a walk in nature, seeing the light bounce off buildings, go window shopping, give someone a compliment.
Literally see, like a detective who's looking for clues, how many places today can I spread the happiness that is already within me? And you can even if you don't feel happy, so you can start it right now as an act. There's a lot of actors and actresses out there. All of y'all are creative. Take it on and notice if you just start expressing happiness, you'll notice that then you have more happiness to express. And this works in all areas. This works not just on happiness. Mm-hmm. It works with love and it works with money.
That's right. That's right. The minute you start tithing or mm-hmm. giving money, mm-hmm. To where you feel spiritually fed, astonishing. I think Tony Robbins said something about like he doesn't know anybody
who's tithed consistently for 10 years that's not a millionaire.
Right? It's like when you are in the practice of money is fluid, it's not personal. I don't have to grip or hold on. I'm gonna give it where I feel led to give. You'd notice it come back in. You notice the conversations going differently. You notice the stand in the world you take is different. You notice that relationships can change. And it's not because you changed them. It was because you let something unfold in you that gave a new space, a new consciousness, a new awareness birth in the world that was not there before you did that.
Whoo! I don't know about you, but I feel high.
I feel high.
So let's go get a little higher.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. So if you loved this, come hang out on the Create Community Facebook page and tell us how you've expressed your happiness this week. And maybe it's even just sharing this podcast with a friend, or just come and tell us the creative ways that you found to express and let unfold the happiness that's already inside of you, so that as you get lifted higher, you lift this whole community.
Yes. Oh, also, for all of our friends that are listening outside of New York and Los Angeles, we just want to say thank you.
We
have noticed that our podcast has been spreading to all across to so many different continents, to so many different places.
We love our listeners in Japan. Uh-huh. We love our listeners in Canada.
There's someone that loves us in, I think it's Eagle, Colorado, that I'm like, whoever.
We love you.
I was like, I love you too.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for making this dream that lifts us so much a reality by just listening and tuning in.
Yeah. And if you haven't gone to our website, it's www.thecreateseries.com. And you just might want to get on our mailing list so we can send you little love notes.
Yes. And if you do join our mailing list, you will get a free gift from us, a downloadable copy of How to Begin Your Morning Practice, which is a really powerful tool for great manifestation. And it'll really complement you in your happiness path this week. Thank you.
We love you.
We love you.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!